Name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to come, Lord, and be together in fellowship and to worship thy great name, Father, for thou art worthy of praise. Amen. And for all things, Lord, we give you all the praise and the glory. Even this day as we gather, Lord, to learn of thy power and the wondrous grace and the beauty of things, O Lord, that thou hast brought forth in this earth and in the whole universe. Father, we thank you for your grace today.
Amen.
We come, Lord, to understand your words. We're asking for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are going to, this morning, I want to touch on a little bit on the first chapter of Genesis. Because the more that I study it, the more I begin to see things that were not shown to us before. And one thing about the Word of God is that there are always hidden gems in among His treasure words. And so the more that we study, the more we look closer, the more we should be able to see things unfold and make it clearer to us. Alright? So we are going to look at the book of Genesis. So Genesis chapter 1. If you will, and as you can see, the book of Genesis is designated in Hebrew by the first word in the book, Barashi, which means upon beginning or in the beginning. Now the book is not just a record of the origin of the universe, or the heavens and the earth, the stars and all the things that were created upon this earth. But most important is a record of mankind, the origin of mankind, the origin of his fall, the origin of his corruption in his genes. And that's why with the word Genesis, it can be split up into two words, genes is. So that's why we all are traced back to what happened to our genes. Alright? So the book of Isaiah chapter 46 verse 9, there are a lot of verses you have to turn to. Isaiah 46, verse 9 to verse 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So remember that. God do whatever He wants, it is for His own good pleasure. Our Isaiah 48 verse 3. Isaiah 48 verse 3, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Now here we are today. We have, depend on how old you are, 10 years old, 15 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old. We are here. We appear, we are here. So we look at the heavens and the earth. The Bible even has God say, I did them suddenly and they came to pass. And yet people say, so many millions of years ago and all that. That's all right, because everything happened very suddenly. Alright, so now go to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and we read the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. First verse of the Bible. And it says that we can see that there are exactly seven words in the Hebrew text. In the English, it is not. Alright? In Hebrew, it is seven words, and that's where Dr. Ivan Penning, an atheist, who do not believe in the Bible, who attack the Bible, who attack Christians and churches, and finally was made to challenge that to prove, for him to prove that the Bible is not of God. And so he bought the Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament is in Hebrew and New Testament in Greek. So he read the first chapter of Genesis, and this first verse when he read, and that's what shocked him. He realized that there must be a God. When he read the book of Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, he saw the same pattern. Not only in those chapters, but in every passages of the Old and New Testament. And he saw the seal of God embedded in the Bible. And that seal number is number 7. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Exactly 7 words in the Hebrew text. In the beginning, well, we said, what is the beginning? When time began. Alright? When time began. Then, secondly, we have God, of course, the supernatural, the eternal supernatural being, created, fashioned ex nihilo, out of nothing. And we have the heaven and the earth. There's all things material. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Time began, and then we have the eternal, which is who's God, the Almighty One, fashioned something out of nothing, and that something out of nothing are the earths, the universe, the stars, and everything that we see today. Alright? So now, if we can believe that the first verse of the scripture, 7 words in that statement, if it is so beautifully constructed in the Hebrew text with all the seal number of God in there, divided by 7, all the numbers added together, the sum, the multiplication, and so on, then we can trust that the Bible must be absolute word of God. Alright, we can trust the every matter that in concerning this life, we can trust it. Okay? And we also know that if the Bible is inspired, or the sacred scripture is inspired of God, and is absolute in doctrine, then the matters are not eternal. Because the Bible tells us that God created. So all this matter on this earth, all the elements, all the atoms, everything, they are not eternal. They are all created. Is that right? Evolution believe they are all in existence already eternal. They already were there. from the past to the present that exists all the time, which is not so. The Bible tells metals that were all created by God. Okay? Alright, so we know that common sense tells us that if things happen, logically we know that if creation comes forth, it must happen only with a creator. No creator, no creation. Alright, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, we all know this. Through faith, by revelation, through revelation, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen will not make of things which do appear. Alright. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen will not make of things which do appear. So all those things that we see do not come from something. They came from nothing. Alright? Okay, now it's interesting that we find the word in the beginning. The Hebrew word for beginning also means first fruits. Alright. Beginning of life always brings something. Their father, a man or woman married, and then when they married, there is the beginning of their union. We can see that it brings forth fruits. That's the beginning of bringing forth fruits. So the Hebrew word for the beginning also means forth fruit. And you read in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, you don't have to go to that chapter because it's the whole chapter, which we know the Bible says God counsels with himself, right? Isn't it so? God counsels with himself for his own good pleasure, so that he could bring forth children, you, me, unto Christ. Do you understand that? So everything that God did in the very beginning, they were all for a good reason, is to bring forth fruit unto himself. Alright, John chapter 1 verse 1 to verse 4. Here we see that beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. So, in the beginning, the Word came forth, God came forth to create, and he was life, and the life was the light of man. And through man, therefore, God said, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. So, the word beginning means first fruit. It also means a sowing, to bring forth a harvest. Alright. And we also know that here, we want you to know, that in the beginning of John 1:1 comes before in the beginning of Genesis 1:1. This one you always must remember. Of course, people will ask you, what is the first word in the Bible? The Genesis 1:1, the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, right? Which is true, because that's the first book of the Bible, you know. But actually, the beginning of the Bible will be talked about in John. So John was, when he wrote the book of the Gospel of John, he was writing that first few verses, 1-4, retrospectively, huh? Going backwards, to bring it, to let us understand. Alright? So now we realize that Jesus Christ is the author of time, but what is time? Interesting, isn't it? Okay, what is time? What is time? Time is a tool to serve a purpose in the author's own hand, to fulfill a plan in his will that he had ordained. Time, in essence, is merely the author's reckoning tool to bring about the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Alright. I'm copying this text out of my own article that I'm writing. This is my first chapter, publishing a book that will come out later on. Alright, so you understand now. Alright, so what is time? Okay, it's a tool to serve God's purpose. Since it's step out of eternity and do something, time begins. So time began, then he must accomplish something. And when you want to accomplish something, it's just a tool for him, right? Isn't it so? In eternity, there's no time. Okay? Alright. Now, the other thing is that when we look into the Bible, we see this verse here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In verse 1. We're still dealing with verse 1. The word heaven, the heaven and the earth. There's this statement itself. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In this verse, the heaven and the earth is a synotoke. A synotoke. You know what synotoke is? It's an expression. Alright, it's a merism. Denoting the whole universe. God created the heavens and the earth. Everything that's out there, you can see. Including this earth. Okay. But when the word heaven is used, and heaven or earth is used with connection to this earth, is dealing with this present heaven and earth. Alright, so the only time you see this verse is in verse 1, very clearly. That depends, it means the whole universe and this earth. The stars, the sun, all those Milky Way out there. Okay, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, by the time when the Bible used heaven and earth in connection with earth itself, material things and people on this earth, is referring to this present earth. Okay, alright? Like for example, when we talk about the heaven, the Bible talks about the heaven. The heaven is a word, it means the firmament, a canopy, the sky, and in connection with this earth. Okay? So now the thing is, people ask the question, how old is the universe? How old is the universe? Well, it is believed that they have very finely calculated, finally physicists, astronomers, firing up, I don't know what on earth did they do, and they all come to agree that it is nearly 14 million years ago. To be exact, the figure is 13.798 plus or minus 0.037 billion years ago. How many of you studied astronomy? Nobody here. Any physicists? Anybody study physics? Besides, you all study physics. But you all study this? No, I guess not. When I was back in the 60s, 70s, they have not really discovered about this. So they don't know how many, whatever the number is. But it was not very long ago that this one they found. I think maybe 10 years or so, or I can't remember. So that's why the universe is that old. Huh! Just imagine how old God is. Imagine how old you are when you are in the mind of God. How old is the earth then? Well, the earth is nearly 4.6 billion years ago. After Christ created the universe and everything, nearly 14 million years ago, then when he created the earth was 4.6 million years old. Alright, so in the actual figure they say 4.54 billion years old. Okay? So interesting, isn't it? Alright. Okay, now this is scientific. We want to see whether if true science is there, it does not contradict the Bible. But we have today some Christians believe that the earth is only 6,000 years young. Okay, they all trace back to the days of Adam. You see, so they argue that the earth is 6,000 years old only. Now we will see whether their theory is true. Whether this theologian whether they are interpreting the Bible correctly. We will see. Because if science will prove the truth, okay, and we will see whether we believe in the truth of those who believe in 6,000 years ago. Alright, verse 2. Genesis 1 verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now this part here, if you look carefully, you can take your pen and underline it. There are three parts to this verse. The first part is, and the earth was without form and void. The second part is that, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the third part is, and the Spirit moved upon the face of the water. Okay, so there are three parts here. First thing, it tells us that the earth was without form and void. Okay? And the second part, there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And then thirdly, the Spirit of God began to move. Alright, now, when we see this first part, and the earth was without form and void, our theologians, of course, when they're trying to figure that out, because, you know, in those days when people are looking at signs and they're trying to figure out about the Bible, you know, since the Bible said in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, how long did it take to create the heavens and the earth? And then they were thinking, verse 2 say they were without form and void. They think that, well, what God did was to speak the world with a lump of clay, pop, and the earth was like this, a lump of clay, there was no form, no shape, it's useless, it's waste, he had to reshape the whole thing, you know. So that's what they imagined. And that way they said that God took so many millions of years to create the earth, this earth itself. And that the Bible in the next, for the rest of the chapter, when the Bible said, in the evening and the morning were the first day, the evening and the morning were the second day, and so on and so forth. They think that this evening and the morning, the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, they are not 24-hour days. Okay, the word day means a period. It can be 1,000 years long, 1,000,000 years long. You see? So that's what they are thinking. But we can see from the Bible, that's a different thing altogether. Alright, so that's how they come to that. But let us go to Isaiah 45 verse 18. Isaiah 45 verse 18, so that we can confirm from this verse of Isaiah 45 verse 18 regarding Genesis 1:1. Isaiah 45:18 says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. And he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. Huh? You get what I'm saying now? So, if you look at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Full stop. That's it. It's created. Finished. Everything is okay. Exactly as what Isaiah said here. He formed it to be inhabited. He formed it not be in vain. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? When God creates something, when he speaks the word to create something, he knows what he's creating. Do you understand that? For example, if God wants to create an elephant, he knows what an elephant is going to look like. Let that be an elephant. So the elephant will form out of the dust and became an elephant. God said, oh no, I think the trunk is too long. I make it shorter. Or the leg is too big. I make it smaller. I mean, when God creates something, he never creates and sort of say, oh, it was all deformed and out of shape. So I have to put it. You know what I'm saying? Let us make man in our own image. Oh, God make Adam and Adam's head is turned the other way now. You know, oh no, God said, no, you have to put him in front. No, not man, no such a thing like this. Everything that he created beautiful. Wonderfully and beautifully made, so it should be the way it is. So when they see the next verse of chapter 1, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, so it become a problem for many people to figure that out. Okay. Now, you see what we said, that when we read earlier on, when God said, he created suddenly. Now, we said the earth was created, the whole universe was created 4 billion years ago. Nearly 4 billion, and the earth was nearly 4.6 billion years ago. Now, how long is that? It's trying to quantify that. How long is that? It's pretty long, huh? Isn't it so? Most of us are around 40, 50 years old, right? So, how long is that? But in God, in eternity, as God brings forth time, He's not in a hurry. Do you understand what I'm saying? As far as what the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Even though time began, God does not reckon time by 60 seconds to a minute, and 60 minutes to an hour, and 24 hours to a day. That didn't happen yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's only when man was put on the earth, then God has to give him a cycle of time. But when he created, a billion years could be one day for him. Because why? He's into eternity. Bringing forth time to create. But yet there was no 24-hour time. Because man wasn't existing as yet. Now we exist in a world where we count time. We have a watch. We have clocks. We're looking at time. Oh my. I'm late for work. You will get out of bed. You jump. You rush and brush your teeth. And then go and make a cup of coffee. And you drink. And try to rush to the office. Huh? You go to the office. After you work 2 hours. Time for coffee. So you want, because you're looking for time for coffee. And then after you take your lunch and after 4 or 5 o'clock, you're looking at your time. Oh my, I'm going off work. Come on, hurry up. Time, hurry up. But when you enjoy things, enjoy life, some kind of party, some kind of function, time flies. But when you're working and you're dragging yourself, time just slows down. Because it's perspective. It's relative, actually. So, in, as far as God is concerned, that's nothing to Him. Okay, so we just want to know that, as the Bible said, if 2 Peter, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Isn't it so? Okay, now, let's go to the next one here. And we look into the verse. And I was without form. The word form here comes from the Hebrew word tohu, means waste. And void, it comes from the Hebrew word bohu, empty. So how do you translate this word? The earth was without form and void, should be translated as follows. The earth had become waste and empty. Something happened. That is to say that something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. Alright, we all know very well on that already. Okay? What happened in this period between verse 1 and verse 2? How many of you still remember? You find that in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15, and also Ezekiel 28, 2 to 18. You don't have to turn to that. You know the story. You know the record of the fall of Lucifer. So that is why we see the gap. Now, if anybody who disagrees with this gap theory, they had a hard time trying to fit everything that science has discovered. Do you understand that? Okay? So we see the fall of Satan, and you know the story of how Satan, what Satan did. Okay, so now, when Satan, or Lucifer, everyone, Lucifer, beautiful creature, beautiful fellow. The Bible said he wanted to be like God. Right? And the Bible said, I will ascend unto the heaven. Now, that is one of the things about the problem over in the Philippines. Over this angelic visitation thing and the argument about a Satan, a fallen creature, can still enter into the heaven and have the discussion with God and debate with God. That's not possible. But they believe it because they don't know how they read the Bible. Go to the book. Let's see here. Isaiah 14, verse 13 to 14. Turn to the Bible. Turn to that verse. Now, just read what the Bible said. You cannot, the Bible doesn't lie. Theologians have been saying that Satan rebelled in heaven against God, and he was cast down to earth. And so they read the Bible like this. But they don't understand what it means by the cast down. The total cast down, cast out. You know. You know what by cast down and cast out? You read the Bible verses where, you know, you can see the word cast down, cast out. If you don't, go and look at the concordance, do a good search and study those two verses. Cast down, I'm cast down. I may be perplexed, but I'm not trotted down. Cast out means brought down low. If I'm cast out, then you're out of the place, and there's no hope. You understand? So now, in verse Isaiah 14, 13 to 14, it says here, Lucifer said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven, right? I will ascend to heaven. No. If he said, I will ascend to heaven, so where was he? Was he in heaven? If you're in heaven, how could you ascend to heaven? Right now. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What was he then? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. What was he? If he said ascend above the heights of the clouds, he must be on this earth. My revelation, period, full stop. Anybody want to argue with me? It's a fact. Do you understand that? Okay, he was never in heaven. Heaven is the throne of God, it's God's dwelling place. As God says, heaven's my throne, earth is my footstool. Footstool, earth is where I walk, where I work, where I put my foot, my feet. Do you understand? The expression is clear. You see, no, God doesn't test creature in hell. He doesn't. Do you understand? Okay, I hope that you understand that. Huh? So because of what he wanted to be like God, so he was, well, you know, he was cast down, he was stripped of his estate, he was made low. Alright, now those other angels who also rebelled against the Lord and decided to take side also with Satan, having their own choice made. So they were too, were cast down, stripped of their first estate, because they disobeyed from the prison, the rank, the first estate, the rank, the place that they should be, they rejected it. Alright. Okay. So, now I wanted to see what happened here. We know that when Lucifer, God found Lucifer's evil thought. And when he was stripped of his power, stripped of his rank and estate, what happened to Lucifer? He got upset. And what did he do? He rebelled against God and he became a murderer from the very beginning. Lucifer's first murder was not Cain killing Abel. Lucifer's first murderous act was getting all those dinosaurs, those animals, those big animals, to fight against each other. And I tell you this, that those dinosaurs, they lived in those era. How many years ago? We'll find out. Because there is a gap here that we need to fill up. It was in that era of time. The earth already we know that was created nearly 4.6 billion years ago. Alright? I don't know how long the dinosaurs have been on this earth. But suddenly those dinosaurs, those brontosaurus, tyrannosaurus, and T-Rex, they have some more. The latest one, they have one that's bigger than T-Rex. I can't remember his name. Some call it Sasmosaurus. And then you have the Velociraptor and all those very. Why do they kill each other? God never create animals to kill among themselves. And don't let the scientists tell you because they have sharp teeth. I don't see too much of Jurassic Park. You know, it's all those sharp teeth for tearing beef. For tearing meat, that is not true. Those sharp teeth are for tearing out the plants, the bark of the tree. Have you ever seen, do you know what the wild hog eat? Any of you know what a wild hog eats? Wild pig? What do they eat? They have two tusks, remember? What do they eat? Do they eat meat? Do they hunt chickens? Hunt birds? Hunt rats? Hunt rodents? They eat them? No. They eat roots. Is that not true? That's the reason why the Muslim can eat wild pigs. Because wild pigs are not dirty. It's halal to them. But not pigs in the farm. The pigs in the farm don't have tusks. Right? But those who are hawk, they have tusks, they are to dig the roots. And that's on a sharp teeth. We have sharp teeth, not for eating meat, not tearing a chicken, huh? It is actually tearing at fruits, bark, like sugar cane, any of those tough fibered vegetation. Do you understand? So those dinosaurs were not created to kill each other. But Satan did it. He rebelled against God. And when Satan did that, what do you think God do? Okay, let us read some example here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. And you know what? We always talk about your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you destroy this body, what do you think God will do? He'll destroy it. Do you understand that? Do you see that? When God gives something to you and you don't treasure it, you make a mess of it, you destroy it, God will destroy it. So the same thing with the kingdom of Israel. That's why he's destroyed all of them and sent them out. But he remembered his promise to Abraham and that he'll bring them back. Huh? The kingdom of Israel will destroy. And the kingdom of Lucifer, his garden of Eden on this earth, his kingdom, what did he do to it? He rebelled against God, he got all his animals to become murdering us. Animals, wild beasts, turn wild and start attacking each other. And so when it does, then what did they happen to this earth? The earth's grass was trampled upon, the tree was broken down, the animals, carcasses, they were all polluting the air. So God has to call it to a halt. Interesting. God has to call it to a halt. Let me show you something here. How old is the universe? Nearly 14 million years ago. How old is the earth? Nearly 4.6 billion years ago. Now what? A cataclysmic earth change took place some 65 million years ago. And that's what the scientists found. And if you go and study science, they said, oh, there, in that period of time, back in about 65 million years ago, there was a great cataclysmic change in this earth of ours. When great asteroid hits the earth with such great force, I don't know how many megatons of explosive TNT and all that, it blew up the whole, the terrestrial, and created such great cloud of dust. They enveloped the whole earth, and therefore the sun could not shine through. And so vegetation died. Animal without food slowly died. They all choked to death. Good enough. And I believe this is one way too that God has to deal with it. But not only that. What happened if you have this 65 million years ago? 5 million years passed. 60 million years ago. Would it not have been that the earth, the dust would have settled down upon the earth? Right now. Is it not true? The earth would have settled down upon the earth. The sun still would have been shining. The seed on the earth would still sprout. For sure. But the Bible tells us in verse 2 of Genesis 1. It says the earth had become wasted. And empty. No life, nothing. So it was not just this disruption or this asteroid cataclysmic change, but also God switched off the sun. Now, we will have to look at how the Bible appeared. When you said, this scientific thing, huh? What is sun made of? What is the sun made of? Smart people, all those university students. What is the sun made of? They call it plasma, they call it nuclear, they call it hydrogen, no, what? No, it's a fusion. It's actually a nuclear fusion plant. Yeah. And scientists calculated that this sun, our sun will last for don't know how many million years, and it dies out.
Then God doesn't know what he's doing.
The son that God created is not the tsunami that man made or the Fukushima one that the man made, that can bring to a disaster. When God switched off the power plant of the sun, the light doesn't shine anymore. The nuclear reaction, he stops it. The nuclear reaction is still there, just a glow. But there is no brightness to give heat to the earth. So what happened? The whole earth plunged into a frozen state. Because there's no sun, there's no heat. It's cold. You all know what I'm saying, You can go in winter you can go to some winter wonderland, so to speak, when you have all the snows and ice on the ground, and yet you can stand out there. If the sun is shining, you feel the heat, isn't it so? You still feel the heat.
Yes.
Of course, but the moment the sun disappears, it's shivering cold. It can plunge from the daytime of 1612 to zero, below zero, because there's no heat. And so the earth was without form and void, and that's what happened. Okay, all right, let's continue. Now, go to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 5. We need to have an understanding from what Moses wrote in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and we read what Peter said. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, 6 and 7. But I want to read to you from the ASV version. Amplified. Oh, not amplified. Authorized. It says that, for these they willfully forget that there were heavens from of old, and earth compacted out of water and amidst water by the word of God. By which means the world that then was, being over flooded with water, perished. But the heaven that now are, and the earth by the same word, have been stored up by fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So what is Peter trying to say? That these people, well, so-called great people, they have forgotten that this earth, that the heavens were old. And an earth, they came out of water, compacted out of water. We'll see that later on, They compacted out of water and mixed the water. That's how it came about. Okay? And then by which means the world then that was created back then perished in the days of Noah. Again. Do you understand that? Being over flooded with water. Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Yes.
Peter was saying that they did not realize that this heaven and earth, the earth was compacted out of water. Okay. But then again, in the day of Noah, the flood came and the earth was destroyed. But now this present earth that we are now, God has reserved it for fire. Do you understand that? Okay. Now we go to another verse of scripture in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23 to 27. Now when you see this passage of scripture, you cannot deny. Okay. What Moses said, what Peter understood, what even Jeremiah understood. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. And the heaven, they had no light. Now, this was the prophecy of Jeremiah against the land of Judea. Okay? Do you understand? It was prophesied against those Jews in his days. Okay. So he was using the same word that Abraham, that Moses used, retrospectively, backwards, to use that form. So I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light, so there's no light. I beheld the mountains, lo, they trembled. The hill moves lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. And all the birds of the heaven were flat. I beheld, Lord, the priest, the footful place was a wilderness, and all the city thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. Now, can you kind of imagine how God was angry with Lucifer going backwards? Yeah, okay. But he's looking for, he was prophesying as regard to Judea, how they too will be destroyed. Verse 27. For thus said the Lord, for thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. You see, Lord, yet will I not make a full end. The earth was without form and void. There was no life. Everything was destroyed, but yet I will not make a full end. God started to recreate. Do you see this way that the prophet is talking here? Okay, this is how he used the same word as Moses used. That's interesting. Alright, so now, let's see. Now, for those people who believe that the earth was 6,000 years, I always ask them. Now, I have some friends are very argumentative, and they are so insistent that the earth was 6,000 years. So I ask a very simple question. Again, I always use this. If the earth was 6,000 years ago and a dinosaur was 6,000 years ago, two questions. One, how come the dinosaur dies out? How come they all died out? You know. And you know, when I first time asked them, the ark, how big was the ark of Noah that could fit all the dinosaurs? You say, oh, you know, simple. Of course, you don't bring the big brontosaurus in. You don't bring the big T-Rex in. You bring the small one. Okay, fine. You know what I mean? You don't bring the chicken, you bring the chickens. Huh? Okay, fair enough. So all the small dinosaurs went in. So after 1 year, 10 days, they got out of the ark. How come they all died? You know what the answer is? Because there was not enough greens. Because the water just receded from Mount Ararat and the animal came out. There's too many animals, so there's not enough food. So, big animal died out. Really? Really? It's kind of very convenient, huh? God brought them into the ark to save them and then bring them out over this side and they died out. But you and I know that not all dinosaurs are big. You have seen the movie T-Rex. I mean, not T-Rex. Jurassic Park, you will know. They create all those animals that they have from the fossils. Huh? Okay, you have a Velociraptor, which is like a kangaroo. And then you have the what do you call that? The small little one. Oh my, those are the dangerous ones, huh? Yeah, they're like chickens. I mean, like the turkey, that's about the size. How come they die out too? And you have the rhinoceros. They didn't die out. The elephant didn't die out. Right? Lions, big, also didn't die out. Hippopotamus didn't die out. Now, you're going to answer, of course. Then I ask another question, number two. If the flood, if dinosaur was there back 6,000 years with Adam, and the flood was the one that destroyed them, and all the fossils, they said, all the fossils that scientists have dug up, archaeologists have dug up, paleontologists have dug up, they all perished in the flood. They became fossil because of the flood. Really? Then I ask the question, what about this marine life? Now the Bible said, when the flood came, all those whose life is in the nostril, in the face, they die. But there are creatures in the marine life. Did Noah take two goldfish from the sea and put into the ark? Take two sharks and put in the ark? Take two whales and put in the ark? Did he do that? The common sense will tell you it is not. Because those are sea creatures. Flood or no flood, how big the whale is, tsunami or no tsunami, they survive. Isn't that so? Yes. The smaller the creature, the greater is the number. Is it not true? That's why smaller fishes abundant. The bigger fishes are less. So how did this marine creature die? Look at it. This is a trilobite. I have one at home. Very nice. I like it. I bought this fossil. This is a trilobite. This is the what the name is, something Saros of Octocirrus. And this is Octocirrus, not this one. I can't remember what it's called. This one has the name of a man, Dickinson something, Stactotax, something like that. It's kind of French name, yeah. So these are all marine life. How come they die off? They become fossil. Then you cannot even find one trilobite today. And these are deep sea. How come they died? If it was just the ocean, they kill all these animals, how come they can die? It must be the earth frozen up, solid. You understand what I mean by frozen up? You see? So that they all die. It's too cold. They cannot survive. Except for seeds. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that is a question they cannot answer. Okay. Three words we need to understand. There are three words we need to understand in this chapter, or else we're lost in understanding. First word, create. Second word, let. Third word, make. We see these three words. Okay. Create. What is to create? Well, we look at the definition first. Use the word let. Let is a word that declares or announces, right? Let us do this. Let there be light. Let this, let this, we declare. Let us go. Intention of God. What God wanted to do. That was God's intention when He said that. You understand that? Okay. What is this word here? To create. Come on, the Hebrew word bara. It's to bring into existence something out of nothing. Ex nihilo. You fashion something out of nothing. That is create. What is made? Made. It came from the Hebrew word asap. To make is to bring something into existence out of something. Or with reference to something already in existence. Now I discovered this when I was writing this. How do I look at this? And try to look into definition to find out what are they trying to say. And then look into the Bible to see how it is used. Okay, so now. Genesis 1 verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now the Bible said God's Spirit began to move upon the surface of the water, right? In verse 2, remember? And the earth was become without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, that's when the whole earth was frozen up. So that when you look from the surface down, it's very dark. Now, how many of you go swimming? How many of you love to swim? Have you gone scuba diving? The more that you go down, the darker you get. And just imagine there's no light in the sun. If you have light in the sun, in the sky, there's some light there in the sky, you go diving down 100 meters, you see light still, huh? Go down 200, you get less and less, right? But there's no light. No sunlight, no light. So the whole earth was so frozen up, the deep, they call it the deep, downwards was upon the face of the deep all the way down. Just imagine. Solid. Solid ice.
All right, so God said, God's spirit began to move. Let it be light, there was light. So where did this light come from? It's not the sunlight. It's not the sunlight. Where's the light come from? God is light, remember? God, whenever He moved to do work, but this is a declaration, that not be light. Whenever the Spirit of God do something, when He do something, there must be light. If you come into a room, just in this room, there's no light here. Everything was switched off, the curtain was closed, and we all went out. Everything is off. When you come in, the first thing you do is switch on the light. Without the light, can you see where you're going? You don't know where the objects are. Huh? So, when God always do something, there is always light with Him. Because He is light. He always bring light to bring life. Whether it's material life, physical life, or spiritual life. So when He deal with you, there is always light in you. Isn't it so? When He deal with your life, when He deal with the light, He brings light to you. Obviously that was His purpose. Okay, so now He brought and the word the light was. So this light, of course, if you look into the heaven out there, if you go to heaven out there, far away from the sunlight and everything, there's still some light, you can see light there, they call it cosmic light. Okay, whatever they want to call, that's okay. Okay, now. So God called the light day. God called the light day. And the darkness He called night. That's what the Bible said here, right? The light day. He called the light day. When He said day, it means it's a hot part. A hot period of the day. And the darkness He called night, which is cold. Because there's no light. So it's called the adverse part of the day. Or the cold part of the day is the night. The sunlight comes, it's always the day. That's common sense. Is it not true? Yes or no?
Yes.
Now, when the Bible said the evening and the morning were the first day, how many hours is that? It's 24-hour day. A lot of Christians don't believe in it. They have forgotten that verse 2 onward, when God created, it was a recreation of this earth. Not a creation of the heavens and the earth. From the beginning. Our present earth was recreated earth 6,000 years ago. Out of that which was compacted in water and with water. Do you understand? But the heavens and the earth and the whole universe was created way back. Millions to billions of years back. Do you understand that now? Why I believe that this week is a recreation? Simple, because the Bible says evening and morning were the first day, evening and morning were the second day. Don't believe that? Let us go into the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verse 26. Daniel chapter 8, verse 26. And see how can you use the word. Daniel chapter 8, verse 26. And the visions of the evening and the morning was told is true. So even the morning here denotes 12 hours of evening time, darkness. Morning, 12 hours of morning time, light. So even the morning refers to a day period of time. It is not to a period of countless years. Huh? A period of thousands or millions of years. It's not. When the Bible specifically used evening and the morning. So in actual fact, the English word is evening and the morning. But it's actually in the Hebrew, evening, morning. The word is together. Let us go to the book of 2 Corinthians 11. So we see the way how Paul used in the Greek text. So remember that we are reading the Greek text, the English text of our Bible from the Greek text, and Paul was a Hebrew, alright? And he used the same expression in the Greek. chapter 11, verse 25. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. And I say here, thrice was I beaten with rod, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day, a night, and a day I have been in the deep. It means to say, English translation, a night and a day, but in the Greek is night day. A night day was I in the deep, means he was in the water one whole day. You're out there in the ship, and then your shipwreck, you're out there in the ocean, keeping yourself for one whole 24 hours. How do you think you feel? For me, I'll die maybe in the next 5 minutes. Some of you will maybe survive for a few hours, huh? To keep yourself afloat, you know. It's very exhausting, you know, huh? Even though you're a good swimmer, it can be very exhausting. You see. Alright, so the expression is there. So, in the morning is 12 days, 12 hours of the evening time, 12 hours of daytime. But today, of course, we don't have 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness unless we live near the equator. Otherwise, in the North Pole, Northern Hemisphere, the Southern Hemisphere, well, it's more than 12 hours of evening or less than 12 hours of evening, depends where you are and what season of the time, because the earth has been tilted. So we don't worry about that, we just want to continue with what we are going through right here now. Okay. Alright, let's go on to the second day. Genesis chapter 1 verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Okay, now. Here, God said, let there be light. The light come up. Alright. The earth was in darkness, right? The first thing God had to do is God had to move. He said, God, let there be light. So there was light. The earth was in a big mess. Okay? Alright. So now we take a closer look at the earth. So you see this bluish. This is the thick layer of ice. I have to show you only one part of light, right? Because you only can see one part, because the light is one side. Huh? You understand now? The light you call day, the darkness you call night. Right? Okay. So you see, but this is the thick darkness. This is the thick layer of water frozen upon this earth. So now the Bible said in verse 6, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters, and God make the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the water which was above the firmament, and it was so. And God called this heaven, this firmament, heaven. And evening and morning, first day. Alright. Okay, what do we have? Let there be a firmament. So there is a firmament right here. This is the water above the firmament. This is the firmament. Okay? So the water is lifted up, and the water that still remain on this earth. So this is called the firmament. This is the firmament. You go out there in the field. This is the firmament, or we call it the heaven. Right? Heaven means the space, huh? People think heaven always heaven. Hell is. You know how mentality our mind is so screwed it up with traditional religious teaching? Where is heaven? You always look at heaven. You all look up. Where is hell? You find out. The heaven means a space. A firmament means a space, a canopy. So this is the heaven. Do you understand that? So the water, the firmament was made by separating the water. Remember, like this, right? All these were layers of water all the way down. So you make the firmament, God make the firmament by creating this space, pushing the water up one above, and the other rest of the water remains down. Got it? Huh? Okay. Let us continue. Okay, in case that... we'll continue with this next one first. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters from the... water under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. Earth means terrestrial. This is the whole planet earth. Earth is earth. Earth is earth. You know what's earth, huh? You know what's earth? You go out there to the roadside, you take some earth from the field. That's earth. But the planet earth is earth. The earth is made of earth. Got it? So God called this dry land on earth. And the gathering together of the water he called seas. And God saw it was good. Now let the waters under the heaven together. Remember? Okay, let's go back. So you see the whole of this earth is frozen. Still frozen underneath this. But now that the light came, it becomes water. And so God lifted out a portion of the water to cover the earth. This is why in the book of Psalms it says that God has shrouded the earth like a blanket. Okay? You all know what the verse is? Okay. No, let me just show you to you what the verse is. Alright, let's go to the book of Psalms 104 verse 6. Okay? You can see that in Psalms and another verse, just read Psalm first. Alright, Psalm 104 verse 6. Alright? Thou cover it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the heaven, stood above the mountains. Okay? It stood above the mountains. That's a high canopy up there. Okay, then another verse, Job 38, verse 9. Job 38, verse 9. Alright, Job 38, verse 9. When I make the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it. Okay, so this is what the God did. Alright. So now the earth is just a lump of compacted. You know, the whole earth, you know, remember it was frozen, huh? After it frozen for I don't know how many millions of years, since 65 million years ago. God had left it. And the earth, do you remember in the center of the earth there is a core of fire? I mean, that's the way God made it. God has a reason to make that up. Well, how is gravity? Some of the physicists, you know what gravity is. Every mass of the gravity, whatever they say. I don't know. I don't study physics. I don't. But one thing I know. Why do you think God put a core of fire in the earth? And why are they magnetic field? How are magnetic field created? Not full magnetic. You know how the magnetic field? You know, huh? You put a needle or a compass, it points to north. Automatically it points to north. But so all this, whatever God has put inside the core of the earth for the fire, that heat are inside going upwards and the coolness of this on the surface of the water. There is expansion in between, huh? Expansion of movement of these rocks and layers of structures of rock, different kinds, and limestones and granites and whatever you have. So what happened is mixed with water. So the whole earth becomes so solid, mixed with water. Though there's some water on the face, but the rocks are mixed with water. So how does God pull the water out so that dry land will appear? Alright. Alright, so we have this earth right now. Okay, the surface of the earth. Covered with layers of water here. Alright, mixed with us. I have to imagine how to draw that, you know. This is just a drawing. Okay? So now, God said, let the water under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. It was so. There you come. So when God started to move the water, pull the water one place, into one area, and all these little pockets, all this, and then the rivers, the Bible says, God put all water into one place. The whole earth, the water and the whole earth are all connected. From the sea to the mountain by rivers, by subterranean fountains and springs and whatever you have, the hollows out there, all connected. You know. You understand what I'm saying? All gathered to one place. He called this sea. The word sea means what? A gathering of water. People say sea. A sea is where you go to the beach out there, is a sea. But the Sea of Galilee is nothing but a lake, isn't it? It's still called a sea. It's just because the word sea is misused, because we were taught differently. We said sea is smaller than the ocean. Is that true? That's what people tell us. Huh? You know. So we got all out together, and so when the water are pulled together one place, squeeze all out like a sponge. Squeeze them out into one place, and let the dry land appear. Got it? Okay. So now, unless you understand this. Okay, then we have in verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth. Now see, this is declaration. Let the earth, let the earth, let the earth. You know, not so and so, not so. So when God said let, his intention of doing something. So when he said let the water be gathered into one place. So he's forming. Okay, he's forming the water into one place. Now he says, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in the sun upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in the sun after his kind, and God saw it was good. And every morning was the third day. So what is it? God just bring them forth out. Why was the seed? The seed was already on earth from the previous creation. Just sprout up. Do you think, how long does it take for God to have the seed grow up? People say it takes a few days. That's our time. But if God wants to make instant, suddenly, he let it appear suddenly. Yes, you understand what I'm saying? Right?
Yes.
If God raised the dead like Lazarus, when Jesus raised Lazarus, remember his body was decomposed. The cell were all dead. And just the spirit of life, when it, the whole body became alive. Instant. It doesn't take time for it to, just for example, if we have a blue black, a cut or something for it to heal, it takes some weeks, a week or two for it to heal up. Because it's a natural process, but God's work, that is supernatural. Instantly, suddenly. Okay, so he bring forth grass, and then we go to the next, the fourth day. Verse 14, and God said, let there be light in the firmaments of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let it be for signs and for seasons, for days and years, and let there be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also, and set them in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw it was good. In the evening and morning was the first day. Now, verse 17, God said, God set them in the firmament of the heaven. Okay, let's go back a little bit. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the light from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years. Okay. Remember this. We have this firmament. But the Bible said here, 17, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven. The firmament of the heaven is not this firmament called heaven. You get it? Because why? First of all, this firmament is created between the waters. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the water. And God divided the waters from the water to create a firmament. And he called this firmament heaven, sky, canopy, space. And this is the firmament out here. And this is what God created, the light. And we have the firmament of the heaven. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. And the stars also. Now is that clear? The former of the heaven and the former that we call heaven, that God created between the water, are totally different. Are people still confused?
Okay, right. Now you are. I'm looking at it so that you understand. Alright now.
Okay, this is the firmament of the heaven. Why in the book of Psalms chapter 19 verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament show His handiwork.
Psalms 19:1.
That is what King David was talking about. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. So when at night time you look up into the heavens, of course in Singapore you can't really see much. Right?
But if you go to a place where it's dark, and you don't have city light, no reflection of light from the sky back down to us, you can see, like in Fiji where we are out there in the night, on the island.
Oh, millions and millions of, you can even see shooting stars. You know, when the stars start to fall, I ask for a wish. I wish.
Looking for a wish. Okay, so that's different. Now, Genesis 1, 28 to 23.
So we have now coming to the fifth day. The Lord said, let the waters bring forth. He said, let the waters bring forth. Now, I want you to notice something. Huh? Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that have life, and fowl that may fly above the heavens, above the earth, in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales. He said, what? Created here?
Yeah, the whale was created.
And every living thing that moved, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kinds, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowl multiply in the earth. In the morning, evening and morning were the fifth day. Now that's very good. You see, the water will gather together in one place. The sea, the river, subterranean springs, and the fountain, all this. Do you know that life actually begins in the water? Like it or not, it always begins in water. Light, then water, then it begins of life coming forth. And that's, you know, why you find a human being always attracted to water. Because that's why every time you see a land, you see, there is the seaport, where the mouth of the river, the estuary. You see, people start to settle there, right? Do business. You understand? Because water is life, so they always go near that. Okay, so it's from this water that all these crickets comes out, spider comes out, beetle comes out, frog comes out, all were created out of the water, from the water area coming forth. Even the birds, the flies. Big fishes all from the water. Okay, good enough. Let me explain it later. Go to the sixth day. Verse 24, 25. And God said, let the earth bring forth now. First day, fifth day, let the water bring forth. Now the sixth day, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the field of the sky and cut after their kinds and everything that crept on the earth after his kind. And God saw it was good. So on the sixth day, God formed creature, the creepers, the snakes, the lizard, the cattle, the sheep, the pigs, lions, elephants, and serpents, all of the ground. Isn't that so? What did God create all these creatures? The Bible said, let the earth bring forth. And in chapter 2, verse 19, what did God say? Oh, Moses wrote in chapter 2, verse 19 of Genesis. What did Moses say? And out of the ground the Lord God formed every creature of the field, right? Okay, so I want you to take notice. Okay, now we have the 6 days. Chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our own image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created them. Now, watch this. Let the waters be forth. You remember this? 50. Let the earth bring forth. 6 day. 5th day, let the waters bring forth. The fish, the birds, the whales. Right? 5th day, 6 day. Let the earth bring forth. Cattle, animals. This is so. Or when it comes to man, it didn't say that. Let the earth bring forth man. It didn't say that. Why does the Bible talk like this? It said, let us make man our own image and after our likeness. Right? So what's the difference in that? Let the water bring forth. Let the earth bring forth. This particular expression, from what I understand, tells us that the creatures of the sea, the air and the land were a direct one-time creation from the elements of water, air and earth. And they were birthed directly from this element. Got it? You understand? Yeah. All living creatures on this earth, they were one-time direct creation. Let the water bring forth shark. And shark appeared. Let the water bring forth whale. Whale appeared. Right? Let the waters and the air bring forth fowl. Birds, eagle, and they appear. Let the earth bring forth lions. Lion appeared. But God never says, let the earth bring forth man. No. Why? It tells us one thing, that the man was created in two phases. That's why God separated that distinction. If man, if theologians cannot see that, then something is wrong. If man were just a direct creation from the dust of the field, as most people believe, they think that we just came straight from the dust. But God made it clear when he said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. Is that right? Correct now. And when God said that in verse chapter 1, verse 26, what did he say in the next verse? What did he say in the next verse? In verse 27. And God created man. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created them. And God created him in his likeness. In the likeness of God, God created man. Blah, blah, blah. Does he say anything further like that? No. You understand what I'm saying? Look at verse 25. 26. God said, let us make man in our own image. After our likeness. One, in our own image. Two, after our likeness. Correct? Then in verse 27. God created man in his own image, after his likeness. Does he say that? No. Why what happened to the word likeness? Why not? Because image and likeness are two different words. And those two different words carry two different meanings, obviously. Because likeness and image are totally different. And so I said God doesn't use the same word if they have the same meaning. Like people say, God create, God made, they are the same, they are not the same. God creates something out of nothing. God makes something out of something or something in reference to something like the sea. Let the sea bring forth, like in reference to the sea. Do you get what I'm saying? That's different. So the image of God was created. When God made man, first he created man in his own image, which is spiritual form, which is a spirit form. Because God is spirit. So what do you expect Adam to be? God is spirit, Adam must be spirit. Angels were spirit. They were all created in God's image, spirit form. You know? After our likeness, likeness is that which is the visible part of God. And that's why you get the Logos. Because when Jesus, when God in the beginning was God is spirit, he's always hiding himself, making himself invisible. So when God came out to create visible things, material things. He has to take the form of a body that is visible, that can be seen. A theophany body. Not a spirit body. You know what the difference between a theophany and a spirit body? Huh? Okay. So, God came from in the form of the word body. That's a theophany. Visible. Tangible. Between the invisible and the visible. Let there be light, there was light, let there be earth, there was light, let there be this, this, this. All these are visible. So he's visible. Do you understand? Invisible spirit, visible word. So when Adam was created in the spirit, or in the image of God, he was created a spirit, because God is spirit. But then later, God created a body for him, which is the likeness. That's why we look like this. The body that we have looks like Jesus' body. You understand that? But Adam was first created a spirit. That's why it's so different. That's why here in verse 27, it stops right there. And God created man in his own image. The image of God created him, male and female created him. God is neuter gender. God is both male and female. But not in the form of what we call sexual thing. Male or female, God is not a man and a woman. God did not say, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, man or woman created him. He didn't say that. Do you know the difference between man or woman and male and female? Do you know a man can be a female? You all know that, don't you? Have you seen a man who is a female? Have you seen a woman who is a male? And a man who is a female? So, female and male, we are talking about the attribute, the gender, the spirit, the attributes of what is masculinity and what is femininity. Huh? Yes. So God did not create man, Adam, male and man and woman. No, he created him male and female. Just one being, spirit, for God is like that. That's why the spirit, the angels are like them. They are neutral gender. The judgment of female in their attribute is there. That's why God is always called the father, never called the mother. Huh? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Why? Why is always God, we call God father? Because masculinity, fatherhood is masculinity. It shows protection, shelter, comfort. Do you understand? Femininity is something that is motherly, nature. The things that are feminine, like flowers and plants and things like that. The cooling of a dove. The chirping of a bird. Something very feminine in that way. You see. So it's different. Okay. In feminine, you see girls play with dolls. Boys play with train and cars. Is it not true? You see. So you need to understand the expression of what the Bible is saying, or else we'll get messed up with all this. Okay. And God, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Okay, now just go back to this. However, the creation of man was not so, for the expression of God to the angelic being was purely, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Yet the verse following that proclamation stated, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. This shows an indisputable fact that God first created man in his own image and sometime later make him after his own likeness. You get it? Huh? Okay, alright, let's quickly finish it off. Verse 28, God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that move upon the earth. Now, God said, Behold, I come unto you, every herb bearing seed, upon which is upon the face of all the earth. Every tree which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. To every beast of the field, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth when there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. To every creature, to the spider, to the beetle, to the lizard, to the snakes, to the frog, to the monitor lizard, to the rodents, squirrel, whatever, and then until the one that flies up in the trees, the birds, the eagles, all those animals, the Bible tells us they were all given the greens of the earth to eat, the nuts, the herbs, the plant. But we still have Christians who say that in those days of Adam and Eve, when they were created, meat was still must be allowed. Really? Let me tell you something. Man is going back to eating vegetable in the millennium. That's why it took 1,000 years to regenerate mankind. Everything will be going back by the law, from all reverse back to the day of Eden. And no more meat will be allowed as time goes by. You know. So if you want to enjoy beefsteaks, you better enjoy it now. Verse 31, and God saw everything that was made, and behold, it was good. And the evening and morning were the first 6 days. Now, I want to continue this next three verses of chapter 2, just to reflect something for you to understand. Okay? Because the first three verses of chapter 2 actually belongs to chapter 1. Okay. Thus the heaven and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the sixth day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. I'm not reading it wrong, huh? Your Bible says 7 day, huh? It's wrong. Because God finished his work on the sixth day. So there is a translation problem here. It should be, and before the seventh day, not on the seventh day. Before the seventh day, God finished, ended his work which he made. And he rested on the seventh day. He cannot finish on the seventh day and rest on the seventh day, can he? Alright, so you can put the word 6 day there, or you can change the word on to before the seventh day. So which should be before the seventh day, he finished his work. Alright? And then he says that God bless the seventh day and sanctified, because that in it that he had rest from all his work which are made, created and made. And verse 4 says, these are the generation of heavens and the earth which are created, in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens. Now, this 4, 5 and 6 is what I want to show you something. Verse 5. Verse 4. These are the generation of the heavens and the earth. Life history. Generation means history. In the day the Lord had made the earth and the heavens, and every plant, now listen, every plant of the earth before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, and there went up the mist from the earth and watered the whole surface of the earth. I was enjoying looking at this three verses for the last few days, because it tells me something which I've never seen in clarity. Now, God, it says in the other chapter that man was created. Adam was created, right? It was in the spirit form. Okay? Now, Moses wrote a little bit backward. He said, these are the generation of the heavens and so on and so on. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. So, what God is emphasizing here is something for us to notice, to take note. He said the earth, the plant did not grow yet. Why? Because there was no water. You need water, right? You need rain, because there was no rain. The Bible says there was no rain. But then how did the earth, how did the plant grew. How did the plant pop up if there was no rain? Before, you remember before God made, after God made the firmament, He made the sea, separate the sea so that dry land appear, right? Yes or no? Huh? Correct. And after that, on the third day, He bring forth the plant. How did the plant come forth? There was no rain. But the Bible here tells us in the next verse, there went up a mist from the earth and water the whole face of the earth. So what God did was to bring up a mist from the subterranean, the fountain below the earth. Now, don't forget that the whole earth is a greenhouse, like a greenhouse, right? Now, when how many of you have experienced going to a greenhouse? You always find it was cool all the time. The floor is always a bit damp. So in the night, when it gets cooler, this mist, God forces it to come out from here and water the whole surface of the earth. And that's how the plant grew. That tells us this. It don't have to have rain. Get it? Now, the verse 5, the other part said, and there was not a man to till the ground. That's interesting. Now he said, there was not a man to till. So what do you have? If God were to bring forth gardens of earth and all this earth, you have all this plant and trees. You have rain to come, you have water to grow. What happened to it? There's no man to till this earth. What happened to the vegetation? They'll grow wild, isn't it? Don't you think so? Right? Have you been to the Amazon jungle? You know how wild that is? Huh? All the plants try to outgrow each other to reach the sunlight because they're all just growing. So that's why man must be created or man brought forth to till the ground, to cultivate the ground. So that tells us that even you have a plant, you have rain, but no man to till it, it becomes a wild place. And over day, over time, it becomes just so wild, become the whole earth will be useless. Huh? So water again that we talk about, and man here to till the ground. Alright? So we stop right there. Heavenly Father, thank you for all your love. Thank you for your word. We are thankful, Father, that you give us understanding as we go on in our walk with you. But thankful, Father, for revelation. It shows us, Father, Lord, of the great, mighty work and your power and your glory. And truly, as King David says, the heavens declare the glory of God and all his handy works. And we are thankful, Father, for that. That even thou hast shown us through your word, O Lord, we ask that you continue to walk with us, Lord, and guide us through from day to day, Father, growing in thy grace and mercy. Forgive us, O Lord, our weaknesses and our trespasses, Lord, and help us, Father, in this life to be filled with your love, agape love, O Lord, and to realize, Father, without you, this journey will be useless. Because, Lord, with our own effort, we will never make it in. So, Father, we know, Lord, it's all your grace and your spiritual leading and your feeling of your Spirit in our life, Father, that guide us, so Father. Give us direction, Lord. We thank you, Father. Amen. I ask that you bless these days now, in Jesus' name. Amen.